Katie and me. This is Maddie speaking because Amy is not feeling so well. So we decided to do a topic that is more revolving around being a mom. So we're going to be talking about breastfeeding this episode. And before you tune out, in case that doesn't apply to you, if you have a spouse or a friend or just anyone you know who may be breastfeeding, or if you think you might be in the future, this would be a good thing to listen to just to get some perspective and an idea of what it entails. First week of August is World Breastfeeding Week, so we thought this was a good topic to discuss for this week. So Katie, if you want to just take it away.
Well, right now I am in my almost 6 months breastfeeding Genevieve, and I breastfed Josie for 18 months, so I feel most of all just really lucky and grateful that I've been able to feed both of them for as long as I have. I know that it can be a real struggle for a lot of people, whether that is a struggle just with production, with just making enough milk for your baby, or just a struggle mentally. It's difficult. It can be really hard. And I think it's important to acknowledge just like that I'm really grateful that I have been able to do that.
One thing I really like about breastfeeding is that I enjoy that it's such a source of comfort for both of the girls. It's a source of like relief and safety for them, and it's just an amazing bonding experience for both of us. There's no better feeling than like looking down and then like as soon like they'll be upset, and then as soon as they start eating, it's just this like and they just like physically just completely relax, and I like that I'm able to do that for them.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. So for me, I had Micah in August, and I exclusively breastfed him until he was about 4 months old. And at that point, breastfeeding was not easy for me. My supply was mostly, I think, the issue. I just had a hard time making enough, and I can discuss why I think that is later in the episode. But at 4 months, I went back to work just a couple days a week. I decided then that we were going to start supplementing with formula, and I wish we had sooner, honestly, because it took a huge weight off of my shoulders just knowing that, you know, we had that in case we needed it. And now he just turned 11 months old today, actually, which is crazy, but I'm still breastfeeding, so it's about 50-50 breast milk and formula, but I have to pump a lot in order to maintain my supply. So that's another part of it that before I had him, I didn't even, you know, I didn't know anything about breastfeeding. And I remember thinking like, oh, I'll figure it out when he's here. And one thing I wish I would have done to prepare a little bit more before I had him was like learn about breastfeeding and do some like education about it, because I was seriously just focused on labor. Like I was so focused on that and like getting him into the world that I didn't really even think about breastfeeding. I was like, oh, they'll teach me what I need to know in the hospital. And they were helpful in the hospital, but I also feel like I got some not great advice from a lactation consultant. But yeah, we can discuss that more later on. Mm-hmm. So what did you want to start with, Katie?
I'm just going to go through like my whole like breastfeeding like journey and just kind of start from the beginning. Okay. And one thing that was kind of a surprise for me was that while I know that right at first you produce colostrum for your baby, it can take several days to almost a full week for your actual mature milk to come in. I did not realize it was going to take that long. And with both girls, it took a full 5 days before my milk actually came in. And at that point, it was not enough for them. So I was prepared the second time around with Genevieve in case that happened and had formula on hand. And so I started supplementing. I had to supplement for that first week until my milk came in with her. But I realized what was going on, so it wasn't a big deal. With Josie, I was told like, oh, the colostrum's all they need. You don't need to worry about it. It's fine. Like, it got to the point where she was starting to get, I mean, not severely, but she was getting slightly dehydrated because she was not getting enough. And that was just a really scary, stressful, like you're already stressed out and just an emotional wreck right after having like that first week. And that was just an extra kind of thing I wish I'd known more about. And I was just talking with one of my friends that just had her baby boy in the last couple of weeks, and the same thing happened to her. No one had told her, like, hey, it could take longer than a few days. If, you know, like, it seems like they might need more, it's okay to supplement with formula. It doesn't mean like, oh, you're not gonna, that doesn't mean like, oh, they're not going to nurse. I want to nurse after that. Cause I felt like I was kind of scared off of like, no, you don't want to supplement. Like, don't give them binkies. Don't use bottles at first, because mm-hmm. then they're going to get like nipple confusion. But I know that you didn't have a great experience with that lactation consultant, but I have been recommending to everyone that they talk to theirs at the hospital. And if you don't necessarily love what they say the first time, like, make an appointment and talk to a different one. I found that I went in with Josie that after that few days, that first week, and she just really put my mind at ease and helped so much, because she was saying, like, if you need a supplement, supplement. If you need to use like a nipple shield, if nursing is painful, do it. Don't feel like you can't. And that was so, so helpful, just to kind of feel like, oh, I'm not going to completely ruin everything if I do that. And I would definitely recommend using nipple shields if you need them, especially at the beginning. It eventually you won't, but it does, to me, made a huge difference. When people just say, it does bother me when people say, oh, breastfeeding's just so easy, or it's just like the most natural thing in the world. And yes, it is natural, but that doesn't make it easy. It does get, I will say, it does definitely get easier for most people. Some people it doesn't. So while I do think that it's really beneficial, and I'm so thankful I've been able to do it, I don't want this to come across as like a breastfeeding is the only way episode.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I know one of the biggest challenges at the beginning was pumping. It was really mentally hard for me, because I don't know. I didn't like the feeling of just having to stay. I know you have a really great like wearable hands-free pump.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I was using my Medela, which, I mean, it gets the job done. It worked really well. But when you're having to pump a lot, I hated feeling like I was just trapped to my chair and couldn't do anything. Especially with a toddler in the house, like, that's just not practical. And while it's a good problem to have, I almost feel bad complaining about it, because I know a lot of moms struggle having enough of a supply. I had an oversupply once my milk came in, and like, I had to pump. Otherwise I was just like completely miserable and uncomfortable all day. And then, like, I know that breastfeeding is a supply and demand. So like, if you're constantly pumping, your supply is going to, you know, your body's going to think, oh, your baby needs all this milk, and it's just going to make the problem worse. So I was trying to kind of strike a balance between like pumping enough to kind of make myself comfortable, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
So that I would make that problem worse. And so I kept doing that, and then, which also contributes to, for me, like, sleep deprivation, because I was having to pump after she went to sleep, and then, you know, like, we're cleaning all the parts, and then, and just getting the milk bags put away and everything. At that point, I'm going to bed like an hour after everyone else was. So that was, I feel like that was difficult. So eventually I did just kind of, wean myself off of having to pump. So I am exclusively breastfeeding now, no longer pumping. And for me, that's a lot more sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. The pumping is a challenge, and it's been a struggle for me. I mean, I kind of got used to it, but it was like, there were times when I had to just like force myself to do it, because I was like, I know that when I had him, my main goal with breastfeeding was to make it to a year. I was like, yeah. I just want to make, that's my goal. Like, I want to make it to a year. And I wasn't able to exclusively do that, but he just turned 11 months. So I know that I'm going to make it to a year, no problem. And now I'm actually a little bit worried about weaning him, because he loves breastfeeding. Like, it's what, like, when he falls and hurts himself, like, I just breastfeed him and he calms down immediately. Or like, if he's fussy or tired or whatever, it's like, that's what calms him and makes him feel mm-hmm. comfortable. And it's like, what am I going to do when I don't have that tool anymore? Like, oh my gosh, it's going to make things harder. But
I mean, at that point, you know, then you kind of, it's not like a rush. It's not like you have to cut him off at a certain time, you know, you can right. start just kind of when like let him lead the way, and like when he's ready, like that's what that's why I weaned Josie when I did, was she just kind of stopped being interested in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of hoping happens, is just he on his own, when he's like, you know, more into food and stuff, he'll just kind of like get, you know, wean himself. But and I'm fine with continuing on for a while. Like I think I'm gonna be sad to like be done too, because like you said, it's such a bonding experience, and it's like the most comfortable, cozy thing, like just to know like your baby's right there, like comfortable, like so calm and happy. And
I will say that when you do start that weaning process, just try and make it as gradual as possible, because see, this is something else I did not know until after the fact that I wish I had known beforehand, is that, I mean, I did know that when you're breastfeeding, it releases that oxytocin, that like feel good love hormone. And when you start weaning, you no longer are getting that like happy feel good, like shot. And so each time, like Josie would kind of, it's like she would start dropping a feed every few days. And each time, like, or every like couple of weeks or so, each time that would happen, I would just feel super sad and kind of depressed for a few days and not know what was going on. And then suddenly I like put it together, like, oh, I'm feeling like I'm like going through withdrawals, basically.
Yeah.
So that was really hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you had told me a little bit about that, but I did see another girl talking about that. So I'm glad that I know to expect it and like be just as gradual as possible, like you said, which is what I'm kind of planning. But yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Right. What did you want to talk about, which kind of pump you use? Because I know I've tried the Elvie and was just not very happy with it.
Oh my gosh. I had the Medela that you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even use it until, so maybe I should discuss my story and what I think went wrong with my supply. So
yeah.
So after I had Micah, he like latched beautifully from the beginning. I was like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. It's going great. The day before we left the hospital, a lactation consultant came in, and she was so nice. Like, she wasn't rude or like discouraging or anything, but she did tell me, she was like, don't give him a binky, a bottle, or pump for 2 weeks, is what she told me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said her reasoning for that was that she was worried if I pumped that I would have an oversupply, and that then that can lead to mastitis, which I've heard stories about mastitis being really bad, like that you get a fever and super sick. And I was like picturing being that way with a newborn, and I was like, okay, I do not want that. Like, I'm going to
right
that as much as I can. So I was kind of scared out of pumping. Because of that, I thought that, like, oh, if I pump, I'm going to get an oversupply immediately, and then I'm going to get mastitis. Like, that was my thought process because of what she told me. With, like, the binky thing, I ended up giving him a binky while we were in the hospital, because when they did his hearing test, the lady was like, oh, do you mind if he uses this binky while I do this? And I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, sure, why not? Because it really helped comfort him. And so I was like, yeah, we'll do the binky. But anyways, I got home, and like you said, you're just producing colostrum in the very beginning. But my milk came in, I want to say, like 2 days after I had him, if that. Like, it came in pretty soon after. And I kind of wonder if the reason yours didn't, Katie, is because you had both of the girls a little bit before your due date, didn't you?
Yeah, but not that far ahead of my due date. Like, not enough that it should have been a huge deal.
Oh, I always
wanted to see that as well. I was already, like, I was starting to produce colostrum before I had either of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I always wondered if maybe because I went over my due date, that was why it didn't take as long to come in, but it might just be random. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways, my milk came in, and it is insane how quickly it, like,
you. Isn't that funny? I went to sleep one night and then woke up the next day, and it was just like, bam.
I felt like it was like from 1 hour to the next. And then all of a sudden I was like, felt like I had these rocks on my chest.
Isn't that strange? Like, it really does feel like you have little like gravel stuck in your chest.
Like just rocks. Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, like this is so much pressure. And what I should have done was pumped after I fed him so that I could be comfortable. But I was like, no, I can't pump because I'll get an oversupply and then I'll get mastitis. Like, that was literally my thought process, which is not at all, I think, would have happened whatsoever. I think
right.
more so the issue is if you don't empty completely after you feed. I think that is more when you have an issue, is if you're like always kind of only doing like emptying a little bit and then leaving it. I think that's more what will cause mastitis and like clogged ducts and things like that.
I say for me, anytime I've gotten a clogged duct, which is so painful, anytime mm-hmm. that's ever happened for me has been where, like, I don't know, I had to be away from her for a little while, or maybe she, like, they slept like longer than they typically do. It's anytime that, like, I have been engorged and just uncomfortable for a longer period of time than normal is when I've gotten clogged ducts.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. Like, that's the only time I've had that either. But
another thing to watch out for is like poorly fitting nursing bras. I have had mm-hmm. there was one that like I just got rid of because I felt like I got a clogged duct every time. Like, if you're wearing a bra that's putting too much pressure or like is not supportive enough, that can most definitely help cause that too.
Yeah, I wore like a regular sports bra one. I have only worn nursing bras almost entirely since Micah was born because mm-hmm. they're just comfortable and it makes it easy to access and all that.
They're comfortable cute. As long as you don't forget to clip them.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I was at work the other day and I texted Katie and I was like, halfway through my shift I realized that my nursing bra was unclipped on one side. I'm like, oh my gosh. Luckily I had like an apron on, so you would like it, you couldn't see anything honestly, yeah. But I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, why do I feel uncomfortable right now? Like, what is feeling weird? And then I was like, oh wow, I like forgot to clip it after I fed him before work. But
that's happened to me a few times. I will say, I know you found some that you like a lot. With Josie, I just kind of used like some that some like hand-me-downs friends were like, oh, here, you can have these. And I'm glad that I actually got some that like fit well and that I bought new this time around for me that I just feel like have made a big difference. They're really comfortable. I like their NYX, KNIX nursing bras. I really like them. That's another thing I wasn't really prepared for was people say like, oh, how breastfeeding is free. Mm. And it's like, kind of, except for the pump mm-hmm. and like pads and like the sanitizing, like, bags you can use, mm-hmm. nursing bras, but even just like a regular bra too. Like, my sizes have completely changed from like pre-pregnancy, pregnancy, breastfeeding, and then like after weaning. Like, why are bras so expensive?
That's why I get the ugly ones on Amazon, because I'm like, I am not going to be wearing these for that long to get, like, the expensive ones. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I mean, maybe I should have bought some cute ones too. But, and I forgot to say, my hands-free pump is the Mom Cozy, and you can get them on Amazon. I think they're, like, $60 a piece, which is really cheap compared to like the LV or the Willow, which
those you always like hear about. $400 to $500, those are like $500.
So when I decided like to go back, or well, no, maybe it was after that, I was trying to like up my supply. I was trying everything. Like, I bought supplements, I tried eating all the things that they recommend,
all the chia seeds and oatmeal and
and the Body Armor drinks and all that stuff, which mm-hmm. literally that's just to get you hydrated. And I was drinking so much water.
It makes me so thirsty.
Yeah, I also decided to buy the Willow because I was, the LV. I tried to buy the mm-hmm. LV because I was like, oh, these are like $400. They've got to be way better than the Mom Cozy, right? Well, I was very wrong. I hated it. I got like maybe a quarter of the output that I normally would. And it also like heated up more when I would use it, and it would make me itchy. Like, I just really didn't like it. So I returned it and just bought more Mom Cozies, so mm-hmm. I have like extras. With like the amount that I was pumping, I was like, it's worth it for me to have
one
switch out, because washing pump parts is the probably worst part about pumping
altogether. Okay, it's awful. That is my like $1 million idea, is somehow a like automatic cleaner needs to be a thing where you just like put all the parts in and then it just like automatically cleans everything.
That would be nice. I feel like it's hard to get them completely clean without, like, you gotta like scrub them good. And
yeah,
so yeah, if you can come up with something,
but like that is somehow my idea that I need to make happen.
I think you'd become rich.
I think so.
Yeah, because that's like the worst, especially like, you know how you were talking about you'd have to pump after she went to bed. Like, yeah. I'm still doing that. So after he goes to bed, I still pump for 40 minutes every night. And afterwards, I'm not in the mood to clean pump parts. I talked about how the lactation consultant said not to do a bottle. But we ended up doing a bottle like after a week because I just wanted help for one thing. And I had pumped enough for him to give him a bottle. And I also feel like it's kind of like nice for them to get to bond in that way with the baby too, because feeding them is special. Like even if it's from a bottle, mm-hmm. Like I don't want moms who bottle feed from the beginning to feel like that's not bonding either, because it is.
Oh, right.
Any kind of like feeding your baby is bonding with them. But so that's one of the good things about pumping. If you're not wanting to do formula at all, your spouse can give a bottle that way if you pump. So that is nice to be able to do mm-hmm. that. And like, I think because we introduced the bottle earlier on, I actually think it was a good thing, because sometimes I know babies won't take bottles. And
and that's a good point to bring up, because that's where we're at right now, is Genevieve is not drinking out of bottles.
Oh yeah.
Right now. And I have only tried one type of bottle though. I know like, sometimes it takes several different types. Like you have to try different kinds of nipples, different kinds of bottles. And so I'm just here at home. So it's not like it's been a huge issue, but like, if I want to go somewhere and be away for more than an hour, like a couple hours, like I need to be able to figure some way out.
That is tricky. So that's hard.
Again, I haven't tried that hard, but
well,
that's
my
next step.
If you are wanting to, like, the best luck we've had with bottles is in the beginning we did try a whole bunch of them. We tried Dr. Brown's, we tried Komotomo, and we also did Lansino, which I was researching like which bottle or nipple is the best for like switching from breast to bottle back and forth to keep them from getting like partial to one or the other. And Lansino are the best. That's what I found from researching. It said they were the best for like breastfed babies. Mm-hmm. And so I got those, and they have been the only ones we've used since he was like a month old. So they've been great.
Next time I see you, I'll borrow one of yours. And
But you know what? Something to remember is that as your baby ages, you need to up the nipple size, because I was using like too small of one, I think, when Micah was too old, and he would get frustrated when he was eating. And I was like,
What's going on?
Like, and it was like, he would take, I don't know, like I just felt like he was getting frustrated. And then I was like, oh my gosh, he needs a bigger, like, then I need to up the nipple size. Like,
right.
He needs a faster flow. And it's like, there are just some things when you're a mom where it's like, you're so busy with everything else. It's like, you don't think about something like that. And if no one told you you need to do that, you just kind of space it out. So it was like, I just hadn't thought of it. So I'm glad that,
right.
Good thing he was getting frustrated, because then I wouldn't have known what was going on. But yeah.
Well, so that happens with me, but everyone always has that one like slacker boob. Mm-hmm. Fill up a bottle with my right side, and then I'd only get like a few ounces out of the left every time.
Yep.
And then if I kept on pumping on the left side though, sometimes I would do that, and then I would be able to get a little bit more. It just like took longer. Mm-hmm. But same way when I'm like breastfeeding, is both girls would get frustrated. Like I always start them with the left side. So then at least they get that, like, I feel like at least something gets taken out of that side. If I start them on the right side, then they're like, why would I switch?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they get frustrated because they're not getting enough fast enough, before I switch sides.
Yeah. I have like the exact same situation, because so at this point I only feed Micah on the right side, because my right side makes 90% of the milk that I produce. Like my left side.
I read that that's really common, and it doesn't have to do with your dominant hand, but for some reason more women have, it's not always, but more women's right side produces more.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous now, because it's like when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh my gosh, I look so completely lopsided. This is crazy. Like,
obviously,
like when I'm wearing clothes, you can't tell. So it's fine. And I know it'll go back to normal after I'm done, but I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks crazy. And, like, it was the same thing, like, you were talking about. It was, like, he didn't want to be on the left side because he was like, I want the like fast flow, mom. Like, what are you doing? So yeah. It was like, I just always started putting him on the right side because that would calm him and like give him what he needed. And yeah. So I still pump on the left, but it's like, yeah, I only get like a couple ounces at most on the left. And then I get like 5 on the right. So it's like,
right.
It's just such a difference. It's crazy.
Right now, Genevieve is just starting to kind of start teething. So that is something to be aware of, is that,
oh yeah,
when your baby starts teething, there's a good chance they're going to start kind of like chomping down while they're trying to, like, she was basically using me as like a teether, which can be really painful. But when that happens, the best thing to do is just like calmly either like get them to just slip a finger in to get them to unlatch, or just like don't react.
Katie, I remember you telling me not to react when I told you that Michael was starting to do that. But when they chomp down, I cannot like react.
It's really hard not to. She got me really good one time, and it hurt so bad, and I kind of like yelped and pulled back, and it scared her. She like started crying and just it was so sad. Anyways, nursing strikes are a thing that I didn't know about that I had learned the hard way. It like scared her, and then she started associating breastfeeding with that, and she would refuse to nurse after that for a while.
How old was she at the time?
March. So she was probably about 7 or 8 months old at that time.
Oh, dang.
And it lasted probably 3 to 4 months. So she just like stopped all of a sudden nursing, like cold turkey, would refuse. And so I had to start pumping again. I hadn't been pumping that whole time. So then I had to start pumping and feeding her out of a bottle again.
Oh, man.
So then I was exclusively pumping again after that. And then that thankfully lasted 3 to 4 months. And then just one day she, like, with me continually trying to get her to nurse throughout this time because I, like, did not want to be pumping.
Yeah.
And then just one day she, like, stopped and went back to breastfeeding. Thankfully, like, wow. As I kept going. So then I didn't have to keep pumping after that. And I'm so grateful because that nursing strike was rough. And the only time I could get her to nurse and not drink out of a bottle was sometimes I could get her to do it at night when, like, a dream feed when she was just halfway asleep.
I
think it was because she was mostly asleep and didn't quite realize what was going on.
Yeah.
So I know nursing strikes can be like caused by a lot of different things, but that was just my experience, and I'm really hoping to avoid that happening again.
Yeah, and you never know, like maybe it would have happened even if you hadn't reacted to her biting, because
that might have
just been a coincidence. But because Katie, when I have reacted when Micah has done that, he laughs. He thinks it's funny. And I'm like,
that's the other thing is something like, that becomes a game to them.
You little stinker. Like, that's not funny. But luckily, like, he just stopped doing it. Like, it was weird because he was doing it all the time for a little bit. And it was, like, frustrating. And then he just stopped. I don't know why. I don't know if it's, like, maybe when he finished he has 6 teeth now. Mm-hmm. And maybe once they weren't bugging him so much, he didn't feel the need to. I don't know. But yeah, luckily, like he's over that, thank goodness, because that wasn't very fun.
No. I know one of my friends has very forceful letdowns, so like right when her milk first starts. And so she would have to pump at the very beginning prior to nursing her daughter, because otherwise basically her daughter would like gag and like throw up milk everywhere.
Oh, wow.
So there's just a lot of things to kind of like educate yourself on and be aware of ahead of time. So you're like, so you're not surprised by like, doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, they have an allergy or something else. It could just be that you have a forceful letdown.
Yeah. And there were so many times when he was really little, like a newborn, and he'd be fussy and crying, and I would be questioning everything. I'm like, am I not making enough milk? Is he hungry? Is he just like colicky, as they call it, or whatever? It was like, know, and it's kind of a scary time because you don't know what's going on. So sometimes like pumping made me feel better just because I could see the milk, like I could see it in a bottle and see that there was some coming out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, then you have a better idea how much they're getting. I know one time sometimes the pediatrician will say, oh, like how much are they drinking, you know, each time.
you feed them. And each time I'd be like, ah,
a like, how are you supposed to- I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
I would tell them like how long, and then I would kind of, I switched to telling like how long I would nurse for, which helps.
Yeah.
But I know some people, what they do is they'll like, if you're really worried about it, or like you're not sure if your baby's gaining enough weight, is they will weigh them. Like they'll get a home baby scale and they'll weigh them beforehand, then feed them and then weigh them again. It's a sensitive enough scale that they can see how many ounces they're getting.
Yeah. And we have one of those that you gave us. And
yeah,
that was the thing, is he was always gaining weight. Well, and so I was like, okay, he must be getting enough food, but like, it was taking such a toll on me, because if I wasn't nursing him, I was pumping. And so it was like all that I was doing for like a few months, basically.
Oh, I totally understand that feeling. That's really hard. I have felt that way many times.
Yeah, it was rough. And so like when we did finally decide to do formula, I was like, I just didn't know. I was like, why did I put so much pressure on myself? Why didn't I do this sooner? But I had it in my head like, no, he has to be exclusively breastfed. And I thought that if I started doing formula that I would quit breastfeeding.
Even if you're not exclusively doing it, he's still getting all those like amazing like, benefits because of it.
Well, and that's the reason that I'm like, the biggest reason why I wanted to breastfeed so bad was because, like, you know, the antibodies and everything that they get through the breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard one time they can get all of the like necessary antibodies and things through 2 ounces of breast milk a day. So if you can breast produce 2 ounces of milk a day, like they're getting that in their mm-hmm. system. So
mm-hmm.
That was kind of encouraging to me too, because it was like, okay, I mean, like all I have to do is at least 2 ounces. And it's like, he still gets a lot of breast milk in a day, but it's so nice to know that like, if I am empty, I have milk for him, because that was the most stressful feeling in the world to be like, if I don't make enough milk, like what am I going to do? And it's like, I don't know. I cried the first time I gave him formula, which I know that sounds so dramatic, but like,
that's hard.
It was such a big deal to me to like do this. Like, I don't know why, but I just like, I really, really wanted to be able to exclusively breastfeed him. And it was like, I wanted to do it for a full year.
It's hard when you have this kind of like something, goal or expectation you want, but then like through no fault of your own, you weren't able to do it. And it kind of feels mm-hmm. like, come on, body. Like,
well, yeah. And I kept being like, why isn't my body doing it? Like, why can't I do this? Why is this so hard for me? And it was like super frustrating. But I really think that the main issue is that in the beginning, I think I should have pumped when I was like super engorged, because it would have told my body like that I was emptying, and that was like, you know, because the supply and demand thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if like, I don't know why it wasn't enough with just Micah eating. Because he was cluster feeding.
You never know too, Madeline. Like that could have been it, or it just like that just might be like how much your body makes. Like,
honestly, and that might be a thing too. And I know I was eating plenty, because I was even eating more than I was comfortable eating, because I was like, I've gotta like make milk. And I've been drinking like a gallon and a half of water every day since I had him, because I'm just so thirsty all the time. And so it was like, honestly, like with the next time I have a baby, I'm just going to already have formula in the house. Like when I bring the baby home, I'm going to just be really like, if I need to supplement, I need to supplement, and just take it way more easy, because it was like the pressure I was putting on myself was ridiculous. Like, I wish I could go back and be like, it's okay to do this. Like, I don't know. I guess I just thought like, oh, it'll get easier. You just gotta like get past this beginning part. Cause everyone told me like, oh yeah, they're gonna cluster feed and like it's gonna mm-hmm. be hard in the beginning. But this was like on another level. And I think next time just being a lot more laid back with the whole thing.
Well, and cluster feeding too, that does happen at the beginning, but it does happen fairly often. Like every time they're going through a growth spurt, I know both girls, like I feel like there'll be a few days where all of a sudden that's like all they want to do. And it's like, oh, okay. I have a feeling you're about to have a growth spurt right now. I think something that's been easier the second time is feeling more confident with feeding my baby where and when I need to.
Mm.
With Josie feeling kind of like uncomfortable or awkward, and just like I hadn't quite, like both of us, we hadn't quite figured it out yet. Like I felt weird doing it in public, but if your baby's hungry, your baby's hungry. It's not like, oh, mom, sorry, we're in the middle of the store. We're at a park. Oh, I'm not hungry then. I'll wait till we get home. Like, that's not realistic.
Right.
And sometimes you have to feed your baby where you need to feed your baby. And I try to be discreet, obviously. Like, I'm not trying to be in anyone's face about it. But I'm going to feed my child wherever I happen to be when they're hungry. And I try to use a cover as often as possible, but sometimes it's so hot outside, or I know Genevieve especially is like, get this off of me, and will like rip it off and hates it and won't eat if I use it.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to eat with a blanket over my head.
Right.
When it's hot outside. Like, that's, I don't know. I mean, I wish that I could, because I think that's wonderful, and I think any mom should feed their baby wherever they are whenever their baby's hungry. But it's like, I don't know if it's because he's my first baby, but like, I have never felt comfortable feeding him like in public or anything. Like, I just feel I just feel uncomfortable. I don't know why. I just don't like it. And
like I said, I do my best to like I was at the zoo last weekend, and so I did my best to like find like a quiet, I found like a quiet area away from most people. Like, there wasn't anyone else around us.
Yeah.
So I found like a quiet, like out of the way spot. Like, no, I'm not going to go sit in the bathroom stall and like nurse her.
No,
that's disgusting. Yeah. So I just do my best to like find a place that I can go. We were on a walk, our family was, you guys weren't able to come because Micah was sick, but we all went on a walk after dinner one night, and we're walking, and it was just kind of like, well, don't turn around, guys, because Genevieve's hungry. So like, I was literally like feeding her and walking. It was one of those, like, I looked at mom and I was just like, I feel like a true outdoors woman right now.
I mean, when I'm in my home, I feed him walking around all the time, but
it's amazing what you can do one-handed, right? Like, you're feeding them and like getting dinner ready and doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it honestly is really crazy. And it's getting harder and harder the bigger he is to do that. But
right,
he'll do it sometimes. But yeah, usually if like I'm out and about and I need to feed him, like breastfeed him, I'll just do it in the car. And if I can't do that, then I'll just give him a bottle. And that's just what works for me and what I'm comfortable with. And
yeah,
I don't know, like maybe my next baby, I'll be more experienced and feel more comfortable doing that too. But yeah, whatever you're comfortable with as a mom is what you should do.
Right. One thing that I think was helpful for me was I'm really lucky in that I have quite a few mom friends that have young kids and that live close by me. And like, I remember one time after having Josie, I think she was only 3 or 4 months old. And I got together with a bunch of them, and there were like 4 of us breastfeeding at the same time in this park. And it was just kind of like, I do not feel uncomfortable at all. Right. It was just kind of like, there's like this, like, I don't know, group, I guess, around me. Like, it was nice.
Yeah.
Something else I wanted to kind of talk about was having high lipase.
Oh, in your milk. Yeah. Because
this is something I had no knowledge of. So with Josie, I had a pretty good like freezer stash going. And then she would refuse to drink any of it after I would thaw it. And I just thought, man, like, she just doesn't like drinking out of bottles. But then if I gave her formula in a bottle, she would drink it just fine. So I didn't or if it was fresh and I put it in a bottle, it would drink it just fine. And, or even if it was like fresh milk that had only been in the fridge for like a couple days, she wouldn't drink it. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be fine for like up to a week. I want to say, I'd have to look up the actual, how many days it's good for, but it would only be in there for a day or two and she wouldn't drink it. And I couldn't figure out what was happening. And then I read about high lipase, which is just an enzyme in your milk that like feeds off of the fat and basically turns your milk like rancid really quickly.
It smell like metallic-y.
I shouldn't say rancid because it's not harmful to your baby. Like you said, metallic, it tastes off. I had never tasted my breast milk just because I felt weird about it. But like, I did because I couldn't figure out what was going on, and it was awful.
Yep.
And then I compared it to some I had just freshly pumped, and it, like, people say it's sweet. It truly is. It is like very sweet. And it was just kind of like, oh, that's really strange. And so then I was looking it up, and that's what was going on. So in order to kill that, I have to scald my milk prior to freezing it. And to make that easier the second time around, I got a bottle warmer and I would stick a thermometer that has like a metal probe into the glass, into the bottle, the glass or steel bottle while it was boiling. Or it's right before boiling. I would stick the thermometer in there to make sure it got to the right temperature before taking it off the warmer, and then I can freeze it. So that's just like an extra step I had to add in. But I would highly recommend, if you're trying to get a freezer stash going, I would highly recommend thawing a couple bags and just testing it out before you get too far in, because it was just heartbreaking. I had so many bags and bags with Josie that I had to just throw away that were like unusable.
Yeah, I think when I didn't have that much, but I did have a bunch of like the like earlier on milk from the Haka. I guess I should mention that. So,
yes, that is very helpful.
Yeah, I didn't ever use the like my actual pump in the beginning, but I did use a Haka. So it's basically like a suction cup pump that you just place on the opposite side when you're feeding the baby, and you would catch like your letdown on the opposite side. And I was actually getting like at least 2 ounces per feeding on that early in the beginning. Like it was really gold colored. So I know it was like the colostrum milk. Mm-hmm. And so it like broke my heart when I had to throw mine out because of the same thing, the lipase. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to you and I was like, yeah, he won't drink the milk when I thaw it out of the freezer. And you were like, oh, have you tasted your milk? And I was like, no, why? And you were like, because you probably have high lipase. And I have the exact same problem, the exact same thing. And he wouldn't drink it when it was thawed. So like, imagine having like a low supply already and then having to throw out your like,
oh man,
it was so sad.
For anyone that is having like struggling with supply too, something you can do is put your Haka on before you get in the shower. And like that warm water and everything like that can help. That you can definitely get a few ounces at least in there doing it that way. Some other helpful products for me. I really like the Earth Mama and it's called Boob, like BOOBEASE, Boobies, nipple creams. I like those a lot more than the lanolin. I didn't like lanolin just because I don't know. For me, it was thicker and it had an odd smell to it that I didn't like.
See, I liked the lanolin better. And I bought the Earth Mama kind because I remember you telling me you liked it.
Yeah.
I think I gave it to you because I was like, I prefer the stuff they gave me in the hospital. I don't know if it was stronger or what, but I felt like it worked better for me.
It's definitely thicker. So I think it probably stays on a bit better for some people.
Oh, and those Silverettes did help me when like I was like right in the beginning when you're really sore and stuff.
Yeah.
There's like these little Silverettes that you can get that you just place right on your chapped, poor, sad nipples. And did you like them? Did you think they helped?
You know, by the time you gave them to me, I didn't really need them.
Oh, and they are, I think, naturally antibacterial too. So it's like, but they're kind of expensive. So if you know someone who used those, just borrow them or something, because they did help. But
yeah.
And they also have those little cooling like patches that you can put on in between feeding.
I like those a lot, the hydrogel.
I felt like they were patches. Helpful. They were helpful, but only for like 5 minutes. And then I felt like they were heated up again, not cold.
Well, they wouldn't stay cold for that long, but then I would leave them on because they would keep your nursing bra from like chafing and just making things painful.
Oh, that's
true. I felt like they sped up like healing time too.
Isn't it so crazy how like in the beginning it's that way, but then like after a while it's like doesn't hurt at all and it just
right.
It's weird. It's like, why can't it just be easy from the beginning? Like, why does it have to hurt like that?
A boppy pillow is very helpful. I still consistently use that like at night when I'm feeding. And I also have a My Breast Friend pillow, and I don't use that so much anymore, but it's really helpful. Like when the baby's very little, it goes all the way around behind your back and latches or buckles. So it just kind of stays in place. And I've just felt like a little bit thicker, and I could almost just kind of like lay her down on it and not barely and just kind of like balance her on it better. So when she was really little, the girls were really little, that I preferred that one. And now I prefer just the boppy.
Yeah, I just have, like, a pillow under my elbow now because he's so big.
I know we talked about lactation consultants, but something I just want to touch on is tongue and lip ties.
Mm-hmm.
So while those are definitely a legitimate concern and very real, I was reading how there's been like an uptick in diagnosing them. And this article was not talking about like causes of that, right? It was just saying like, just stating the fact that they have been diagnosing tongue and lip ties more frequently. So part of that could be that they're just looking for it more often. Also, it could be that like they're changing criteria for how often, like what constitutes a tongue or lip tie. All right. So I was in the hospital with Genevieve, and she was like, Josie latched right away and was able to nurse just fine. Genevieve, it's like she wasn't sucking. It's like she was just taking her mouth and basically just gumming my nipple and just like chomping down really hard. And it was really painful. Mm. So she like wasn't sucking right. And so they came in and she goes, oh, yep, she's got a tongue tie. And like, I felt like she barely even looked in their mouth. And I don't know, to me, she just rubbed me, this lactation consultant just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, okay, like, I'm just gonna, she's like, I would get her in right away. And like, she was like recommending like surgery, like laser surgery and all this kind of stuff. And it was just kind of like, I feel like this is really extreme.
Yeah.
For right away. And this is legitimately a thing. Like if your child truly does have one, like it can be huge. Like tongue ties can affect like speech later on for kids. Like it can be a big issue. But I just didn't feel like that was it. And I brought her into the pediatrician a few days later, and they were like, yeah, maybe it could constitute like be a very, very mild one, I suppose. But I disagree. Like they agreed with me and were like, I don't think that this is the issue. And it really, I think just like she needed practice. I don't know. Like she figured it out. Like it took her a few days, but then she started sucking and latching just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my good friends, same thing happened with her daughter. I feel like one of the lactation consultants right away was just like, yep, she's got a lip tie. And then she went back a few days later to another person. They were kind of like, I would disagree with that. So I just think that if that is something that is diagnosed for your child, like don't just ignore it, but I would definitely get a couple second or third opinions on it before moving on.
Yeah, honestly, like I've heard so many different it seems like you either get like an angel lactation consultant who like changes your life, or you get like someone giving you terrible advice. It seems like it's, I don't know. And I've heard a lot of stories about lactation consultants just not being nice, and it's like,
oh really?
Frustrating, especially when you like very first start. Like I know that for them this is something that they do every day. It becomes something that's like normal for them, but when you just had a baby and you're trying to figure this out, it's like
emotional.
It's emotional, and it's also like private and something that you're kind of like not comfortable with someone just like coming in there and like shoving their hands all up in your business and like,
right?
You know, and it's like they need to be very gentle and kind. And like if you have someone, if you're in the hospital and your lactation consultant is being like mean or rough or like not nice, you can definitely tell them to leave. So
right,
because I'm just right some stories that I'm like, what the heck, like they should be very, very nice. And like the nurses that I had were wonderful, and like when honestly the nurses helped me with breastfeeding more than anybody. And especially like the ones that had kids of their own, they like helped the most. So, and when I was in the hospital, I asked like as many questions as I could come up with regarding breastfeeding, especially. Oh, and then something else that you should be aware of is when you breastfeed after having a baby, you have it causes contractions. It makes your uterus contract to go back to its normal size, and it feels a little bit like contractions during labor. So
Those were rather painful.
Yeah, they're not the greatest feeling. So make sure you have a heating pad, because that like helped a lot.
One thing to be aware of too is those can get progressively worse with each child. So I felt like they were fairly painful with Josie, and I think that they were much more painful the second time around. And I don't know why that is. Maybe they're just like, man, we got to work double time this time to get everything back where it needs to go. I don't know.
Man, does anything get, like, easier?
Well, like I was saying, like, I felt much more confident the second time around.
That's true.
I felt like I was more prepared for sure. Like, it wasn't so much of a mental adjustment. I was kind of more prepared for a lot of things this time around. And it's not such a complete lifestyle change. I know what people will disagree, and I mean, you could argue it either way, but for me, going from like one to two children has been a lot easier than of a faster like transition back to kind of like our normalcy than zero to one kid was.
I feel like that's how it's gonna be for me too, just because there was so much I didn't know going from zero to one. Like, you don't know anything about babies. Like, you can educate yourself all you want and you're still gonna be like, what the heck am I doing? Whereas like the second time around, I feel like you know so much already, and it's like when certain things happen, you're like, oh well, this is what we did with the last one, so it's like you can at least try that.
Right.
So yeah, hopefully that'll be easier. And actually, a lot of people say that like labor is easier with each kid, like it goes faster. And I don't know if you found that to be true or not.
No.
Dang it.
that was not my experience, but I'm sure it's different from different people. One thing that's been funny this time around is that breastfeeding brings up all sorts of interesting conversations when you have older kids, like other kids in the house.
Oh my gosh.
Another like funny thing, like I never realized I would be doing, is planning my outfits based on like how I can make my breast most easily accessible, which really can be limiting sometimes. Like I'll have like day to day, it's not a big deal, but anytime I have like an event or something specific I need to go to, it's like, oh, I don't have any dresses or whatever it is that like is going to work well for this.
Yep.
So yeah. Button-ups and like wrap dresses have been my friend.
Yeah. So I have this one dress that I wore for my maternity pictures, and luckily like it has buttons up the front so I can like breastfeed in it. And so I wore it for, I wore it a little while back. For their baptism.
Yeah.
And Katie had an event to go to, and she needed a dress that she could breastfeed in. And I was like, oh, okay, here, you can wear the dress.
It worked perfectly.
I was like, okay, now we need to get Amy to wear this for something so that it becomes this description of traveling dress.
Exactly. All right. Did you have anything else to add, Madeline?
Well, I hope that this didn't – I hope that this was encouraging and, like, not I don't want it to feel like this is something that's super, super – like hard and difficult and that you can't do it, because it gets significantly easier after you pass. Like for me, it was like at 4 months, it got way easier.
Right.
It was like the newborn part was hard because you're figuring it out. Like this is very new. Mm-hmm. And so after like 4 months until like present day, it's been wonderful and much, much easier. And the painful part is it's like 2 weeks max, I think.
Right.
And so it's like, if you can
if it does continue longer than that, like definitely go back and get some help, like have a consultant or a friend, someone show you different holds, or nipple shields, something, because pain like that is not normal.
Yeah.
It should not hurt like that.
Not for that long. And also, like, they might be, like, have a shallow latch or, like,
right,
be doing something just that can be fixed with some help. And right. I know that there are really good lactation consultants out there. You just have to find, like, the right one for you. So,
And that's something that most insurances will pay for, as well as a pump. So that's something to definitely look into as well. For me, it's been, like, like I said, like, I just want to make sure that these aren't surprises for people. It's not like to scare you. It's just like, this is something to be prepared for that could potentially happen. But majority of the time, I'm just so thankful, especially with the formula shortage going on. But I'm just so thankful that I have been able to feed my girls like this, and that it really truly is like a wonderful, amazing feeling being able to do that. So
it is. But like also, even if you only were able to breastfeed for like 2 weeks or whatever, like, it's like you did it that long and like that's 2 weeks that you breastfed. Like, it's not, I feel bad when, like, moms, you know, they, it just didn't work out for whatever reason. And there are so many reasons why it might not work.
And there's so many reasons. It's never something to feel like
guilty for.
Guilty or like ashamed of. Like, I had a friend that just constantly was getting thrush, which is just like a really painful infection. And it was just like, it just was awful. It just, I mean, she was like killing herself trying to do it and just continuing over and over. And it was finally just like, I know she had horrible guilt, like just stopping. And finally she was like, I should have stopped a long time ago because it was just taking such a mental toll on her.
Well, and I've seen people say that, like, if it's affecting your mental health to the point where you don't feel like you can be as good of a mom than like you would be if you did formula, then like that's something you need to consider. Like,
oh, definitely.
When people are adults, you have no idea which ones were breastfed and which ones were formula fed. Like, it's not the end of the
right.
Can't do it. I mean, if you can, like, that's wonderful. But I also don't think we already have so many things that we feel guilty for as moms. Like, mom guilt is so crazy. We were just talking about it earlier.
Basically, like, I get it for anything and everything.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, the guilt is just,
and it's all like self-imposed. It's definitely
totally
not, like, outside pressures. I do it to myself.
Totally. Like, sometimes I saw this video and it was like, my kid playing independently, totally happy. And I'm, like, getting something done. And then it's, like, you look over and, like, just feel guilty for not being with them, playing with them, like, every second of the day when it's, like, they're fine. Like, they're playing and you're getting something done. Like, that's totally fine. But it's, like, you just create these, like, guilty feelings over everything.
I'm never doing enough.
Yeah. It's, like, oh, I'm not present enough. I'm not doing enough. Oh, man. So it's, like, do not feel guilty about how you feed your kid. Like, as long as they're full, like, that's what matters.
Yes, definitely. I feel like I could just continue on. Like, I need to do like a 10-part mom series about all kinds of things.
Oh my gosh, seriously. There's this thing going around and it's like, if you knew me before I became a mom, then you don't know me anymore. And it's
for sure.
It's kind of true because it's like when you have a baby, you just change in like every way and like not in a bad way at all. And I think it's a little dramatic to say that they don't know you at all anymore, but it's like what they're trying to say is that you just become like such a different, like so much changes in your life when you have a kid.
Right.
That like you feel, I mean, like when I think about a year ago, because Mike is about to be a year. When I think about a year ago, it's like, man, I feel like a very different person now. And I wasn't a bad
person.
It's just, I feel very different now. Yeah. And it's like, it's because he's like changed my life and it's,
yeah.
Oh man, when I start thinking about him turning one, I'm like, I'm gonna be just crying all day because it's so emotional. Like,
I don't know any mom that gets to their child's first birthday and is not like emotionally affected.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I think I'm just gonna be a mess all day. Like, hopefully I don't cry at his birthday party.
Okay. Well, I hope that this was helpful and provided some resources for you. Like, I am in no way an expert, but I am definitely willing and very happy to answer any questions if you just want to not, you can ask me any questions and not feel embarrassed or like feel like you should know this question, know the answer to it, or like you're oversharing. I feel like a lot of people are embarrassed to ask questions about breastfeeding because it's kind of taboo in some circles to talk about openly. I would encourage anyone to send us a DM on Instagram or Facebook. We're also on TikTok now. Getting with the times. So I hope that this episode was informative and helpful for you.